Fusion Energy Milestone reported at Princeton. Shuttle Endeavour sends Hubble Telescope into orbit with new glasses. Inflation stays modest in November, thanks to cheap energy. Good Friday morning, Bill Lynch with the CBS World News Roundup. Scientists at Princeton University have produced the world's largest fusion reaction, a four-second burst equal to about 3 million watts. While the device consumes about twice as much energy as it produces, plasma physics lab director Ronald Davidson calls it important.
This is a major milestone in the step towards fusion energy development, and this is a major step in that direction. It's a bit like the Wright brothers' first flight.
Science has long dreamed of harnessing a cheap, inexhaustible source of energy. The Hubble Space Telescope is back in its own orbit, and in a few weeks, scientists hope to see a new, clearer universe. Barry Bagnato is in Houston.
It wasn't the most suspenseful moment of this mission, nor was it the most challenging. But here at Mission Control, it was the most satisfying. The Hubble Telescope is now repaired, released, and working.
The telescope has acquired the sun, and all the modes are looking good.
All right.
During five practically flawless spacewalks, the astronauts proved that complex in-orbit servicing can be done. They gave the telescope new solar power panels, an upgraded camera, and the prescription it needed to clearly see the universe. Placing a call to space, President Clinton labeled the mission spectacular and told the crew he hopes this success will rejuvenate support for spaceflight in Congress and the country.
We're also proud of you, and we've been able to see you do all those things. It's just been wonderful, and I want to thank each and every one of you for what you've done.
Maryland Senator Barbara Mikulski, who heads a key space funding panel, says the space program is again flying high. Back when the telescope's embarrassing optical flaw was discovered, she had branded Hubble a techno-turkey.
We ruffled enough feathers at NASA that then they got as focused as we needed the Hubble telescope to be, and now I believe we're on our way.
With Hubble gone, Endeavour's crew now gets a day off. Barry Bagnato, CBS News, Johnson Space Center, Houston.
A Wisconsin Air National Guard KC-135 tanker exploded this morning during a refueling operation at Milwaukee's Mitchell Field. At least five people are reported missing. Colonel Chuck Hardesty.
I'm looking out at a ramp with one destroyed airplane on it. It's covered with foam. The fire has been contained, and the fire trucks are ready for anything else that they need to do.
The airport reopened after an hour. Consumer prices rose in November a modest 0.2%, restrained by declining energy costs. For the year-to-date, consumer prices are up 2.8% at an annual rate. The Pentagon is about to announce a restructuring of the Army National Guard and Reserve with expected manpower cuts of 100,000 over 5 years. It's looking less likely that a complete world trade deal can be finished by next Wednesday's deadline. The word in Geneva is that it may be less of a free trade bonanza than had been advertised. Police around St. Louis suspect a child serial killer in the death of a 10-year-old girl named Cassie Center, found yesterday in a trash-strewn alley. She was abducted 8 days earlier on her way to put up Christmas lights. Neighbor Arlene White is now fearful.
I've lived in this neighborhood and raised my kids. I now have grandchildren, and I can't believe that something this horrible could happen to any child, let alone one in a neighborhood like this. I mean, it's peaceful, it's quiet.
The FBI and St. Louis police have joined forces with Chief Ronald Battelle of St. Louis County, where a 9-year-old girl was found dead 2 weeks ago.
There are enough similarities where we felt it was in the best interest of the citizens and law enforcement that we combine into a task force to address the crimes that have been committed.
There was a memorial service last night for Polly Klass, the Petaluma, California girl abducted and murdered in October. The story from correspondent John Blackstone.
Amazing grace.
With Joan Baez opening the service, the biggest church in Petaluma was filled to overflowing last night. So many had come to know Polly Klass.
Was when you took my own sweet child.
California's governor, Pete Wilson, promised at the service that tougher laws would come from Polly's death.
Sometimes a single event is so shocking and so unsettling that it makes the entire nation tremble.
Someone's thinking of you and loving you tonight.
But this was also a night of remembrance for those who knew Polly long before her face was on a kidnap poster. John Blackstone, CBS News, San Francisco.
Asking for peace in the rest of the country.
Along with the customary chamber music, this year's Nobel Peace Prize ceremony in Oslo featured Ladysmith Black Mombaza, one of South Africa's gifts to the world. This year's co-recipients, President F.W. de Klerk and Nelson Mandela, spoke of their country's future.
Above all, we owe it to the children of the world to stop the conflicts and to create new horizons for them. They deserve peace and decent opportunities in life.
We stand here today as nothing more than a representatives of the millions of our people who dare to rise up against a social system whose very essence is war, violence, racism.
Along with their medals, they got a $790,000 cash prize. Secretary of State Christopher has met in Tunis with PLO Chairman Arafat 3 days before Israel's scheduled withdrawal from Gaza and Jericho. Hanan Ashwari has quit as spokeswoman for Palestinian peace negotiators, but she denies it's a protest against Arafat.
The whole structure that was established for Washington is no longer applicable, and I personally have no intention of maintaining an official post or of acquiring any official post in the future.
Ashwari said she turned down an offer to become the PLO envoy in Washington. Reports in Israel say Prime Minister Rabin will visit Washington next month and hopes to meet Syrian President Assad. The United Nations today cut off all fuel deliveries to Bosnian Serbs until they stop blocking aid convoys. International mediators are reported seeking a new round of peace talks during Christmas week. After a new wave of terrorist murders by Islamic extremists in Algeria, the State Department is evacuating non-essential embassy personnel and advising Americans not to travel there. A hijacker believed to be Algerian surrendered in Nice today after commandeering an Air France domestic flight from Paris. Russian voters elect a new parliament this weekend, ending weeks of de facto dictatorship by Boris Yeltsin. From Moscow, Jonathan Sanders.
Last night, President Yeltsin made a nationwide TV address. He warned the Russian people that if they did not vote in favor of a referendum legitimizing his new constitution, civil war threatened. Yeltsin has otherwise remained aloof. Not so his deputies. Each is ready to show that he can be Russia's new leader. They formed a handful of individual parties, and that may hurt the reformist side. Yeltsin's deputies may be running for parliament, but they are also positioning themselves for the future. Those dreaming of being the next man in the Kremlin, like Grigory Yavlinsky, often criticize the president.
Yeltsin is only trying to make economic reform, not doing nothing in politics.
The candidate's other theme is the economy. There's some renewed support for the Communist Party, but long memories restrain its appeal. Communists are the one thing we don't need, Zoya Yeloseyevna says. It looks like this weekend's voting won't give any one party dominance. For Russia, that's a big change. Jonathan Sanders, CBS News, Moscow.
On Wall Street, the Dow is off a fraction.